Jeffrey. How are you?
I'm good, Tariq. How are you?
We got a great show tonight on Angel Coaches, and we have a special guest speaker. So why don't you introduce him and before that, share what our show's about tonight.
Sure. We've got back by popular demand our very own Michael Brooks, who's going to be talking about his own personal path toward achieving his own success, because he's built a great amount of success in his life, financial success, as well as prosperity in all aspects of his life. So he's going to be talking about how he achieved his own success and how he's living the life of his dreams and the steps that we all can each take to achieve our own highest potential. So we're very excited to have him. So welcome, Michael.
Hello.
Hi, Michael. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
We're doing wonderful. We're just excited about having you, and I know that you're successful in all areas. I know you're extremely spiritual. I know that a lot of your success you've done by just your belief system. So one of the things we want to know is, how did you get the life of your dreams? I think I told one of your little secrets there about spirituality and your connection.
Well, first of all, I really believe that to get what you're looking for, you have to first ask and understand what it is that you're wanting. I think everyone has a good idea of success, wealth, happiness, but we have to decide what it is that we're looking for and how does that look in our lives. You can be extremely wealthy and be unhappy, or you can have meager income and be extremely wealthy in this terms of exactly what it is that you're looking for and what it is that you want out of life. For me personally, I've always have known that I was going to be a healer, a servant, a giver. And being in that limelight was going to be my calling. And so by having that initiative, what can you do in your life that's going to allow you to do what you're called to do? For me, it's what I do right now in the healthcare industry. But that was just something that I found as an internal gift, something that was natural, something that was easy, something that you do unconsciously. And it's a part of your quote-unquote DNA. Wow. And I think when you find that, then everything else flows evenly, and especially when you're in divine order. I believe when you have those combinations, then it makes life a little easier. Not better, not, you know, great, but it makes it a little easier because there are challenges in this life that we all have to deal with.
You question, Michael. You said something about divine order. What does that mean? And another question I want to ask you in this, and I know Karina's got lots of questions because we were really excited about sharing and talking to you, and I know we have people that are calling in. So Michael's extremely psychic. I'm psychic. Karina's a psychic. So if you got a question you want to ask about business and or personal, please give us a call because you've got three of us tonight that will give you answers. But you said divine order. And also, you're extremely happy about what you do and who you are, that being part of your DNA. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I believe that when you're asking in either meditation, prayer, whatever you want to, you know, call it, when you're asking for divine guidance, one of the keys is to be able to listen. If you're wanting to make a mark in the world and to set the world ablaze and you have an innate gift, asking for divine guidance and you listening to your answer, listening to what it is that you're called to do. And if you're called to do something, it's not going to be a struggle to do the things, but you may have struggles with other things in your life because life is a sense of balance. You have wonderful things that happen, and then you have not so wonderful things, and it keeps balance within the universe. But when you're called to do something, you'll do it effortless. You will enjoy doing it,
but
you'll still have to interact with people because this is a world of interaction. And in divine order, things will happen. Doors will open when you think they're not supposed to. And opportunities will manifest and come your way when you're, like, least expecting it. But you have to be open. And you have to say, I will take what is given to me, and I will be, I don't want to say obedient, but I will follow what advice that I'm getting on a divine order. And when you do that, it doesn't mean that your life is going to be, you know, rosy. You're going to have thorns along with the roses, but life is a journey, you know? And that's what we're all here for, to walk that journey. And that's when you find that divine purpose, and it calls you, and it comes to you, then the doors and the opportunities will open. All you have to do is just show up.
Okay, that's good. I know, Kareem, you have a few questions you wanted to ask him. And Michael's a millionaire, and he's, I know they're probably going to think of, before he leaves the planet, they're going to think of a new name to call a millionaire, and then Michael Brooksonaire. How about that? That's a good thing. Anyway, what's your questions, Kareem, with him?
What would you, I mean, I know there's a lot of people listening today where, you know, they're questioning themselves now. They're saying, am I living the life of my dreams? Am I doing what my calling is, as you say, right? What kind of advice would you give to people in order to find that? And then once they figure out, okay, I know what my calling is, but I'm not doing it now, what then are their next steps? How do they find the courage to follow their dream?
I believe the first thing you have to do is to ask. Mm-hmm. If you ask not, you receive not. And then once you ask, to be willing to listen to what you're being told to do or inspired to do. If that's the easiest thing. I want to be a great painter. And you get the inspiration to want to be a great painter, but people tell you don't do it because you're not going to make any money at it. Mm-hmm. But you're inspired to do that. So what do? You listen for the next steps. Maybe you need to take an art class. Maybe you need to go and watch some artwork being manifested at a local art store or something like nature. Mm-hmm. Listening and following what you're called to do. And then I always believe that if you're called to do great things, you're not going to be given any inaccuracies of how to do it. It's just listening. If you're to move, you move. If you're to stay put, you stay put. Because I believe that in meditation and asking in divine order, you will be given the instructions. I think the biggest things that we have are not listening, or we think we should do or we can do it better. That's the hardest thing, turning down the world so you can hear the guidance and hear the next step. Nothing is done by chance. It's just in divine order. Our biggest issue is to listen, is to be quiet, be still, and listen. And then that's when you're given the next step. Because I always believe that if whatever you're calling in life and what you're called to do, the divine order will give you those things. And then, as a quote-unquote, being obedient, the wealth comes with it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Being obedient. That's always an issue for me. How about you, Kareem? Anyway, got a lot of grounding when I was a kid. Yeah. Right? Michael, I have a question for you. You know, I know that, you know, we talk about the angels and I call God, you know, spirits, people may call Buddha. It doesn't really matter, the great I am, however you see that. But I know you work with the angels, and I know that you work with God. That's a big piece for your success. How does that play into your success? You know, the building the life of your dreams and how, you know, when people are building, you know, trying to do the same and build a great life, you know, financially or, you know, in any area, how would you suggest that they start working with the angels, working with God if they haven't already? And how did that start for you?
One of the things that happened with me as I was a young lad, I always was intrigued with helping people. And at an early age for me, I asked. I said, you know, I got on my knees and I asked for guidance, for, to be shown what my life is going to look like. And I said I would be obedient. Well, 5-6-year-old asking the great, you know, God, whatever you call it, I want to be a servant. I asked for that. And I was given an inspiration. Now, I was never told that it was going to happen about, you know, 20, almost 30 years later. But I asked, and I sought the questions, and that was, what can I do? I want to be a servant. And so I took it upon myself at an early age. It's not like the case study. That's the perfect case study. If you're going through the academia and you get the perfect case study, some of the things that have happened in my life have kind of gravitated towards that. But for those who are struggling, for those who have a couple of ideas, but they're indecisive of how, what do I need to do? The biggest thing that my mentors have always shared with me was turn down the world, commit your thoughts to paper, meditate over it, and be bold enough to follow your answer that you're given.
Wow. Wow. That's
be bold
wonderful.
Enough. I like that. Be bold enough.
Hey, Corrine, that goes with something you said about the risk. What was that you said about risk taking? Because Michael's told me the same thing before. You know, those who take the risk get the pay or something like that. So, you know.
Right. You have to be, you have to have the courage sometimes to understand that you need to take risks in order to receive. A lot of times we feel blocked or too afraid, and we don't take any action. But without any action, that's inaction. Nothing will come to you then. So sometimes you've got to be bold enough to follow what you're receiving or follow guidance or follow a push or an inspiration. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Michael, is it okay, Corrine? I know you wanted to ask him another question, so I have one I want to ask him as well. But you
go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, by the way. Michael, I know that you study a lot and you work a lot and you play hard. You play hard, work hard, and study hard. Those are three keys, I think, and you have a great connection with your angels and spirit and our God. But let me ask you a question, and this is really, really, really important. I know that there are people that are listening and they're saying, be a servant. I don't want to be a servant. I told my husband that. I told my wife I was never going to be their servant. And now this guy's telling me to be a servant. Can you really elaborate on that a little bit? Because I know what you mean by that, but be clear, more clear. People
did know. I am the term of being a servant. When I always have, this has always happened in my life. To where if I've always asked for something, I had to wait to receive it. And I've learned through just the mentorships and other individuals who have made their mark in society, one of the things that they've always have said was, before I actually made it, I mean, I was beating the doors down and I was trying to make enough noise for someone else to hear me and to give me a chance. When I said that I was just, if I had an opportunity, I would give back. I would not hold all of the success and the accolades, but I would give it back. It would just flow through me and transcend to others. Servants, being of servant, helping others. When divine comes in, And you're listening to what you're being instructed to do, there's always a purpose. And that purpose is to, at some point, give back to the next group, to honor the ones that are giving you, that have walked before you, and you're giving back, being of service. So that what you're getting in return as, quote unquote, a payback or a paycheck is that you're amassing the things that you're looking. You're getting wealth. You're getting wealth in the areas that you're going to need in order to sustain the drive and your calling and your purpose. If you're going to, quote unquote, be a millionaire and have 20 dealerships and you have poor health and you're not able to sustain and you're like not giving back, then you're going to have balance. Your balance is going to be off. I've always believed that as you're giving wealth, you're getting it in areas of your life that's going to help sustain the purpose of what you have said, I will be a servant of. So as your reward, you take breaks. As your reward, you take vacations. As reward, when you're taking vacations, you may be an inspiration for somebody else. You may touch the lives of the next Bill Gates, inspire them to do great things, because that's what divine order is all about. Divine order puts you in the right position to make the right decisions at the right time. But the biggest thing is we have to be obedient. We have to listen. We have to humble ourselves. And once you get the information and once you're given that opportunity, then you're able to do wonders. And it's not so much the wonders that you come up with, it's the wonders that flow through you. And you get the things that you're looking for. You get those extra little cars, the extra little bank accounts. You get that big retirement bonus. You get those things because you are helping others. That's if you go through the divine order.
Wow.
That's wonderful. Neat. I love that. I have a question for you, Michael. You know, we all talk about the law of attraction and how, you know, that is also very key in achieving success and creating wealth and all that. You know, there was I remember walking down the street, and I live in Los Angeles, and there's one street, it's Robertson Boulevard, where it's famous for all of like the celebrities and the rich and wealthy people to be driving down the street. And I remember I was walking down the street with a friend of mine, and she had said it was a guy friend, male friend, and a Lamborghini and some other kind of a glitzy car, I don't know, some kind of car, I don't know the names of these things, like, but it was a fantastical car. It was like bright yellow, and anyways, it was one of those kind of cars, and he made a comment and said, "Oh my God, if I had that much money, I would not buy that car." And I looked at him and I said, "Why not? If he has that much money and he likes that car, why wouldn't he buy that car, you know?" And it just kind of showed me, you know, where he was coming from, that, you know, his state of mind kind of was blocked to receiving wealth because he couldn't appreciate it in another person. And what they were doing with their own wealth. And I love how you say, go take the vacations, go and buy yourself nice things, because it'll inspire other people to create their own wealth for themselves. So for those people out there that might feel, you know, blocked or jealous or envious when they see people living the life of their dreams, what do you say to help people kind of remove those blocks and those fears and those negative, you know, feelings that they have within themselves so that they can move forward into allowing abundance into their lives?
Well, that's a good question.
If someone is looking to aspire to have, you know, great wealth, and they have a hard time receiving, well, you need to understand that if that's something, great wealth, if you're not ready to receive it, then maybe at that point in time, there's more prayers and meditation, okay, that needs to occur. Because when you receive the inspiration to do divine order, you're going to be ready, because the wealth that you will amass, or the things that will come your way, the good things, the win-win situations, you know, the beautiful deals, the things that happen that are like magical, that happen, your mind will already be in that state, because you're ready then to receive. When you're not ready to receive it, then there's a little bit more work, meditation, rethinking what it is that you really want out of life. You could want some certain things, and divine order could just be knocking at your door, standing in your doorway, And you have the choice of whether you let it in or if you don't. Mm-hmm. But when you don't let it in, well, then you need to go back and rethink. Is that what I want? If I had an opportunity to drive a Lamborghini, would I want to drive that if I'm not ready for that?
Right.
The opportunities will always come your way. Will you be ready? And ready means is mind, body, and spirit. I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to do the good work. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, I bet you. But it means I'm ready to do the good work. And if you sign up for it, then the Lamborghinis and the Rolls and the Bentleys or whatever that is your desire, when it starts coming your way, you won't be ashamed of it, but you will embrace it. And you may just donate it to the local charity as a good write-off. You will be inspired to give and to give back because the abundance of what you will receive, either by inspiration, joy, peace of mind is priceless. Joy and happiness are effortless. When you're looking to tap into that, then you'll get it and it will flow through you. The biggest thing is, are you ready to receive it?
That is really key. Corrine, do you mind if I ask a question with that? Michael, joy, being happy, being willing to receive, everything happening in divine order, and also being a servant. And being a servant means serving humanity or serving however you see that and giving back. That's something that you've said. Let me ask you a question. How key are your emotions to receiving and having the life of your dreams? How key is that?
Very, very much a key. Because actually sometimes your emotional reaction, and that's what it's called, and your emotional reaction can shortchange your happiness.
Right.
You're not a victim. Okay? Well, why is this always happening to me? How come I can't get a break? How come I'm like always the last one to know? Well, maybe it's not your time. Maybe there are certain things and lessons that we need to learn. You know, there's a professor I had when I was an undergraduate student, Dr. Appiah. He made a comment to me all the time because I was a pretty good student working in psychology with a minor in criminal justice when I was going through undergraduate school. And he made a comment. He said, you know, Michael, I see great things in you, but you have to see them in yourself as well.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, dude, you know, can I get the A out of the class? Because, you know, and it just went over the top. We have to value ourselves. We have to see great things in ourselves. We have to change our mindset. So it's not about how come I haven't. The question is, I'm waiting for the time, I'm working to be in that position to receive it. Then when it's your time, when it's your number, when it's your moment, it will come. Just like the sun sets in the west and it rises in the east. When we set our intentions up and our mindset, it will flow. And that's where we have to work on it, to where our emotions, we get those in check. Why am I upset? What do I need to do to change certain things? Maybe because I didn't get that job I was looking for, maybe there's a reason behind it. What do I need to do? If I was in charge of other individuals and I was a short fuse, would I inspire them or would I be a catastrophe? Sometimes divine order will save ourselves from ourselves.
Wow. Wow. So it might not just, it's divine order, divine and perfect timing, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, cool. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know that there's, Corrine, you've got another question that you wanted to ask him, so.
I do. Michael, you had mentioned earlier, you were mentioning something about Bill Gates, and we discussed briefly about it, and you said building wealth is a process, right? And first comes understanding the type of wealth that you want to build, right? And there's different levels of wealth and attainment. And you had said something about you have to decide whether or not you want to be Bill Gates or Gates Bill. Can you talk, which I love, because there's a lot of different levels of wealth. It's not just about financial wealth. It's about, you know, other types of wealth. Can you talk a little bit about that and how, you know, the steps to understanding the kind of wealth you want to build?
Here's a good principle behind that. Over the course of years, I've always liked to listen to football coaches or basketball coaches or people who make a mark in society. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, the salt of the earth individuals are the ones that stand by principles.
Oh, that's key.
Wealth to them could be family. Mm-hmm. Family that prays together, stays together. Wealth could be health to overcome whatever chronic illness that manifests in a string of one particular family. Wealth could be financial security. But a lot of times the financial security means that someone is comfortable and have the necessities that they need, and they're giving their wealth away. They're inspiring others to take action. So a lot of times is, I want to be wealthy. Okay, well, wealthy in what? And that's where someone has to decide exactly what it is that they want to be wealthy with. Or wealthy in what?
Wow.
I want to be the greatest school teacher in America. Someone can offer them $1 million to take their act on the road. And they may say, no, what? Give me $1 million and donate it to the next school fund. I want to inspire the young minds of America. I want to have a wealth of people who I can talk to and inspire. You have to figure out what it is that you want to obtain. And how do you do that? It goes right back to the beginning. You ask. You ask not, you receive not. You have to ask. And being bold enough to take the answers, because once you accept it, you'll find out how far you want to go. If you want to have 10 mansions or just a comfortable home.
Okay, yeah. That brings me to another question. You said that money, okay, so somebody says, I want to be wealthy. How important are goals, and what is wealth? And you identify that first, right? What kind of, is it money? Is it, you know, is it prosperity in being a teacher or a nurse or a doctor or whatever you want to be, or a garbage man, right? I mean, if you want to be working a trade school, that's cool too. So let's say this, somebody wants to be wealthy in money. They want to be like, in the top 1% of the country, which, you know, is a lot of money. How do they do that? What do they do? How do they set themselves up? Do they need to do goals? Do they need to do personal development? What do they need to do? We got a caller to this after you answer this.
Me? In order to do that, you have to ask and get the inspiration and then set your sights on. If I want to have 1% of the wealth in the world, what are the intentions? Do I want to build my own private country and have sovereignty onto myself? Or what's the purpose? You know, one of the things with Bill Gates, and I'm using his name, he had an idea. He said, I'd like to see a computer in every home in America.
Wow.
Now, he wasn't thinking that, I don't believe he was thinking at the time that he was going to charge, you know, well, if everyone home in America, I'm going to sell the product, you know. I don't think he was doing that. But he had a vision. And it's not so much that the computers in every home of America, look at the technology and how it has become a fabric of our existence. I believe he had a different mindset. Because what is he doing now with his foundation? Read what he's giving back, what he's giving away. I mean, we're talking about a massive amount of wealth, but we're also talking about helping inspire America, helping inspire the country,
wow.
giving books to overseas or health care or immunizations. You know, the ones that amass it understand the power of it because they want to help humanity as a whole. And you don't have to do it on a grand scale like that. Helping the young man or the young lady next door to get their grades or being an inspiration to someone elderly. The point is that what is the wealth aspect of your life? It's what can you do that's going to help someone else? Because then when you start doing that, you'll be so busy helping others to where you won't realize that, you know what, you've got like 5 years of net income stuck away and you hadn't even paid any attention to it. Because you will get back what you give.
That's true. Wow. Wow. Michael, thank you so much. Because, and we got a caller on, I think, Corrine, don't we? You told me.
We do. We've got Willie waiting on the line.
Hi, Willie.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Willie.
Hi. Hello, Corrine and Tree and Michael. Good, glad you're on again. What you were talking about just led right into the question that I have, but I just wanted to say a little bit. A little over a year ago, my oldest son, he was just as proud as could be. He learned how to fill out a resume, and he started putting out resumes everywhere. And he got the same results for almost 6 months. When he first started, his chest was sticking out. He was proud. And by that time, he looked like 6 months later, he looked like he'd taken a beating. So I said, okay, I got to do something. And I said, okay, so what can I do? So what I decided was, okay, we'll start a small window cleaning business. And we started the window cleaning business, and it's growing. But now I feel like, okay, it started out as a way of helping my son, and he's glad he's working and that kind of thing. But now I would like the business to grow a lot bigger. I would also want to do more than just window cleaning, but and turn it into a full-scale cleaning business and compete with the largest cleaning businesses in South Florida. So if you were... This is more of a, instead of a metaphysical, but more of a, like, how to do. If you were doing something like that, what would you, to make that next big leap or whatever, is there something that you would suggest, if you were doing this yourself, that I do that could sort of like jumpstart it or move to that next level?
I would first identify the market. And what exactly could you expand into with the least amount of capital? Is it getting a couple of contracts to do the cleaning of a building or a couple of banks or anything like that to where you're not necessarily underbidding, but looking at the market to where you can actually get in, expand, maybe offer a couple of free things in order to get the business. But looking at the market, and then how could you expand with the least amount of funds? Because
right.
expansion is always going to require some type of capital, but usually the business owner will be the capital person,
mm-hmm.
and by doing that. So expanding into also other areas that people are not necessarily wanting to get involved in, you know, And looking at that and looking at what's available in that area. There's going to be a centralized market that everyone's going to gravitate towards because it's going to be easy. It's going to be the most lucrative one. There are some areas within Florida that some would venture out into it, but how much work is it going to take to get my return back?
Mm.
Those are always the key areas because if you find the right combination to where you can make it work, then you've created a market share that's already been there, but you've identified it, and then you can build from there. There are contracts that are out there all the time. What are some of the local, larger private businesses? Are they unionized? I'm not going to get into that, but But what are they paying per capita? What kind of product are they getting? Could you negotiate a trial run? Or is there a different type of business within what you're doing that you can expand into? Maybe there's another business that possibly is the owners are like wanting to retire, and you have an opportunity to maybe purchase part of their contracts. And instead of using personal outside financing, use owner financing, where they're, you know, I'll take over this and I will give you a certain percentage, yada, yada, and then you work out a buyout. There are a lot of different areas because it's, you know, that you can look into. But the key would be keep your mind open. Well, look for the opportunities. The opportunities that come to you would be the ones that are right under your nose.
That is, you know, that's really awesome. And you just gave me a million ideas right there. And I just want to make a comment about something really funny. When we first started our business, we had no customers. And our first day, we knocked on doors. And I told my son, I said, we're going to leave this day and we're going to have two customers. And he kind of looked at me cross-eyed and thought I was crazy. So the next shopping center we came to, we got out in the car and we started cleaning windows. So my son said, are they going to pay us? And I said, don't worry about it. So a lady walked by and she goes, these are the cleanest these windows have been in years. She turned out to be the owner of the store and she hired us. And that's how we got our first two customers. So I really appreciate what you said and you gave me some more ideas there. And I'll take that all in. Thank you.
Hey, Willie, before you go,
you're welcome.
Willie, are you there? What kind of cleaning supplies do you use? Because I'm getting green, go green. Have you looked into, like, maybe, you know, I don't know what kind of, you know, solutions that you use when you're cleaning, but I think there's a green market out there. Have you tried looking into companies that are all about turning green and going green and using all natural products and things like that? I'm getting like a huge push.
Well, I'm glad you said that, and you reminded me of something that I actually looked at a year ago and forgot about. So okay. I'm glad you reminded me of that, and I'll look back into that because I don't think there's a whole lot of cleaners out there that are doing that.
Right.
And as Taria and I know, as one of her former roommates was kind of allergic to a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and we can only clean the floors with, you know, certain solutions. So that, maybe that was a hint in the right direction. So both of you, I'm glad I called in. Both of you give me a lot of inspiration. And thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, Willie, one more thing is I was looking at blog sites today, and there was one that was called, I think, Go Green, and they were talking, people were promoting their businesses and giving answers all over the U.S.
Oh.
You may want to say, okay, check it out.
I will do that. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think I got more than I anticipated. I appreciate it.
That's always good.
That's good.
And it was for free.
I know.
Yes, exactly.
He's always good.
It was for free. It didn't hurt. No pain involved. And can I make just one more comment?
Sure.
I'll tell you, when Michael was talking on the metaphysical side, I broke up with my girlfriend this week, and it wasn't that painful or whatever. But when Michael was talking about knowing what you want, it also, I kept thinking about also knowing what you don't want and being able to let go of it. But that allowed me to think more about what I wanted. When I kind of let go of that, it let me think, okay, what is it I do want? Because sometimes we focus so much on what we don't want, we end up manifesting more of what we don't want.
That's very true. Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've dated two of the same guys, just different names, okay? Anyway, yeah, all right. You know, speaking of that, Michael, a question I have for you. You have built an incredible lifestyle, and I know that you're humble, and that's what you've told me that we need to be as well. And I know you serve, you know, you serve your higher power, and I know you communicate with the angels, but tell us about your lifestyle. What does lifestyle mean to you?
Well, one of my cousins told me that you work hard, you play hard. And so for me, I'm typical. I like to relax, and I'm learning to relax. That's another thing. I believe that as I'm inspired to do certain things, that sometimes I think, hey, there's 48 hours in the day, and everyone should get after it. Well, it's probably 36 hours in the day, so I guess I have to rest in between. But I love to be able to go out and do things that are not traditional but are traditional. Relaxing. I love to take trips. I love to travel. I eat out. I love to go to certain diners just to order maybe a cheeseburger. Why? Just because it's a reflection of I like to relax a little bit. To take walks, you know, to clear my mind. But the biggest thing is that I love to go to sports events. And one of my passions is that I do play a racket sport, and I purchase a lot of rackets. But I love to go and watch professional sports. And sometimes I will purchase a ticket that's probably a little over the top just to sit down there next to the visiting team, and you can just heckle at them a little bit.
Nice. I like that. I want to be a heckler. That's good. And I know you have 5 cars, and I make a joke about it being one for every day of the week, and you take a break on the weekend. So that's a good thing. But you're humble about it. You know, that's good. And I know you go to movie theaters where they serve you amaretto sours. When Kree and I grow up, we want to go there too. Right, Kree?
Where are those kind of theaters?
I know. You have to be rich to get into them, okay? So probably have to wear more than just a shorts and a T-shirt, Kareen. That's what I'm thinking. So anyway. But, Michael, and you get to travel. You get to go and do different things, and it's a non-issue for you, right? Because some people are, I got to pay my bills. But I think you taught us tonight that more than pay your bills, because you're always going to pay them, dream big, right?
Oh, yes. Oh yes, the unless you're inspired to tone it down a bit, why not? You know, 5-star resorts, going to different places that you've never have visited, and staying at the best that you can stay at, even if it's one night. And it's not so much that you pay the price to stay someplace. It is like this is a reward. I want to do this right, just because I have an opportunity to. And then it's something where you can build that into your memory bank. And as you're talking to the inspirational people around the world, and they say, I stayed at that resort that's down in Miami, Florida, and it just opened. It's a 5-diamond resort. It's like, oh, wow, I stayed there one night too. Isn't it marvelous how the marble flows with the water and all that? And it's not about being arrogant or conceited. It's about experiencing. It's about having that opportunity.
Wow.
That if you put that in your memory bank. When I was fortunate when I was younger, my family had relatives overseas. So I went to Europe. I turned 7 over in Europe. And went to London, and then my mom went over to Switzerland and a lot of different places. Well, one day, I would love to go back and to possibly retrace some of the steps. But that's something that I would love to do when I'm, like, retired. And it's not because you can. It's just experience, the travel, to see how other people live, other states, other countries, just to experience it. And if you can go in grand scale, then you do it, not to show off, but to say I had an opportunity in this lifetime to do something that's amazing, and then you can share that with others.
That's so good. I really like that. And you know what? You taught me that. And so when I went on a trip recently, I got to stay in first class. So nice, okay? They serve you in real wine glasses there. Very nice. I think we have another caller, Kelly.
We do.
Okay.
We do. We've got Kelly from California.
Okay, there you go. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
We're glad you called in. What kind of question do you have tonight?
Doing listening.
Good.
I actually have a question regarding work. And kind of like your friend here, it's not about money. I have been able to save a great deal of money, and I actually have money coming in. It's more so about working and doing what I want to do and portraying the right job for me. And I just wanted to know if you could see that happening anytime soon.
Getting the right job for you and one that makes you happy and that you enjoy doing?
Yes.
Is that what you're looking for?
Exactly.
Okay. Michael, I want you I'd like to answer that question. I do see that for you. And the key thing that you said is that you want to do something that you enjoy and that makes you happy. So that's your intention, as Michael and Corrine and I have all talked about. And with that intention, you're going to get the job. You're not in a rush to get it, are you? It doesn't feel like you're rushed. You're taking your time.
No, not a rush, but I do want to do it within the next 2 or 3 months. Yes.
I see it in October.
I have a lot of energy.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I see it something coming for you in October. Okay. Corrine, what do you see?
I was just going to say October. Are you working right now, Kelly?
No, but I'm writing. I do that on the side just because I like writing. But I'm not currently working now.
Okay. I think the job that's coming in is going to have something to do with writing, because when you said you're not currently working, it felt like what you were doing now, the energy feels very similar to what's coming in October. Okay? It's a very similar energy. It almost feels like it's the next level up from what you're doing now. And if you're not working, it's telling me that it has something to do with writing, which you're really good at. It's creative writing or something to do with that. Okay. Whatever this is, though, is really tapping into your spirit. It's going to make you feel alive. It feels like you're doing that now, which is why it's confusing that you're saying you're not working, because it feels like what's coming in October is going to be similar.
I do a lot of creative outlets, but I don't seem to be making money off of them currently. But I'm ready.
Like editing or something like that. Copyright, something like that. It feels like something like that.
Kelly, Michael, I know he's got something he'll share with you because he's so good. And go to realfastbook.com. You'll get some things there. I'm being asked to share that with you. Realfastbook.com. Okay. Michael, do you have anything you want to share or you see or feel for her? Because I know you use your intuition in your business and in all areas of your life. So will you share?
I would say at some point, do some research, meditate a little bit more, and being open to the inspiration that you will receive. I believe that. I believe that would help you as well. You know, research different things that are out there. Pick up maybe a couple of books while you're waiting. And then also asking while you're waiting for this moment, what can you do that can enhance? Maybe the next thing that's going to happen for you, you're going to learn a skill during this intern period that's going to help.
Hibernation period.
Down the line.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you mean. Yes. Good idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly, for calling. And we also have on our .com a lot of information about manifest dreams. And we have a friend's call tonight. If you go send us an email, the number, okay? Angel Coaches, you may really enjoy that because we have a lot of people, authors, some work. Thank you.
Okay.
they took the first step.
Michael, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, good. Were you able to hear Tari just now? Because I couldn't hear a thing.
I know I didn't. I'm fading in and out.
Okay. I didn't know if it was me or what was going on. But anyways, thank you. Thank you so much, Michael, for being on. You've been a great inspiration to all of us. And we're glad to have you on again. We're going to have you on again to talk about creating love and prosperity and love and relationships. And so we'll look forward to having you on again. Again, I think what Tree was saying I believe we're going to have you on our Tuesday night call too as well. And you're going to be teaching a class. You want to talk about the class that you're going to be teaching?
Well, I guess we're going to be teaching a class on manifesting and positive thinking, and also working on staying focused, because a lot of times, you know, during the course of just everyday living, we get a little distracted and we get a little weary, and learning when to rest and learning to stay focused so that you can get after it when it's time really to get after it. So different techniques and tools that can be utilized during those time periods when you need to rest and to stay focused on the mission and the goal at hand.
In the pause periods, right? How to stay positive. Yeah. That's perfect. Well, we'll post that on angelcoaches.com with the date and the time that Michael will be teaching this class. And we'll have him on again next week on our Tuesday night call if anyone wants to ask him any more questions. And that number can also be reached on angelcoaches.com. You'll get the number and the access code. Just send us an email. So thank you again, Michael, for joining us on the call tonight. We really appreciate it.
And thank you. Thank
wonderful.
You. It's an honor. Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll see everyone next week then. Have a good night.